time of year. It's a time when families gather, when meals are prepared, blessings are counted, and hearts are reminded that everything good that we have ultimately comes from the Lord. This morning, though, I want to look for a few moments anyway beyond the blessings on the table. I want to look beyond the blessings on the table. I want for us to, on purpose, look towards the God who has in fact given us those blessings. Amen. And not just a God that provides for us, really not just a God who protects us, but a God who seeks us. He leaves the 99, He comes looking for the one. Aren't you glad today? Aren't you thankful that He came looking for you?
Amen.
The greatest reason that we have to give thanks this year and any year, frankly, is that God did not wait for us to find Him. He came looking for us. He came looking for each one of us. And in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 19, there's a story of a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a man who was not looking for salvation. He was curious. He was curious about Jesus, but Jesus came to Jericho that day with Zacchaeus on his heart. He came through there on purpose. He came through there with a plan and on a mission. Maybe somebody's watching this morning. Maybe somebody is here in this sanctuary this morning, and you came today out of tradition. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I should at least go to church and thank God. Glad to have you. I pray that you can't leave here today the same way that you came in.
Amen.
Maybe somebody's here today for the holiday. Maybe because you're here because somebody invited you. I hope that's the case. Maybe you came today just so you could check church off of your list before Thanksgiving week. I'm just being honest. But Jesus came today looking for you. He came looking for you. Turn with me this morning, if you would, to Luke 19, starting in verse 1. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Luke 19, starting in verse 1. When you find that, if you'd stand to your feet, we'll read God's Word. I promise not to keep you any longer than the Lord allows. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Find it interesting that they just threw that in there. And he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for Jesus was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this story, the relevance of it all. Lord, I pray that today maybe there's a Zacchaeus in the crowd. Maybe there's a Zacchaeus watching by way of the internet. Maybe there's a Zacchaeus that has slipped in here hoping to be unnoticed, but you've noticed. And you've sought them out. You sought me out. You sought us out, Lord. You came looking for us. You came with a purpose and with a plan. And though the enemy hates that purpose and he hates that plan and he hates us and he hates you, you're greater than all of that. Lord, you can hold us through all of that. And for that, we thank you. And I pray, God, for lives to be changed and transformed today, not because of some great preaching, but because your word remains true. Because your word doesn't return void. God, I thank you for it. I pray this preacher decrease, that you'd increase in me. I pray for every church in this city today that's preaching Jesus Christ. Lord, that lives would be transformed in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. Oftentimes we come across, have you ever just went shopping? Is this working, Rocky? Is this thing working? Have you ever just went, you know, what's the point in window shopping? Now, there are stores I can go shopping in. Gun stores, Harbor Freight, amen, Home Depot, Sportsman's Warehouse, Cabela's. Who said Dairy Queen? Oh, yeah, okay, whatever. Sometimes we go shopping just to go shopping, just to see what's out there. Zacchaeus was a man who was, he was looking, but he wasn't really seeking. He was looking, but he really wasn't seeking. Tax collectors in those days were among the most unpopular people in all of Israel. They were hated. They were despised. Jews by birth, they chose to work for Rome, and they were in fact considered traitors, turncoats. Besides, it was common knowledge that tax collectors were making themselves rich by gouging their fellow Jews. It makes a point in verse 2 that he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. And he got rich probably off of his fellow Jews whom he was taxing. So it's no wonder, really, that the people were muttering when Jesus went home with this tax collector named Zacchaeus. But at the end of the day, who better for Jesus to hang out with than those that need Jesus? Aren't you glad that he came and spent a little bit of time with you? Aren't you glad that he decided to just spend a few moments with you? So despite the fact that he was both a cheater and a turncoat, Jesus loved him. He loved him. And in response, this tax collector is converted. Converted, changed, transformed, born again. He was a wealthy man. He was a chief tax collector. He was a man who appeared successful to everyone around him. He had money. He had status. He had comfort. He had everything that the world says should make a person thankful. But he was empty. He was empty. He was broken. His own people hated him. His wealth could not buy peace. His position couldn't buy his forgiveness. His success couldn't even close up the hole in his heart. And there are people today sitting at tables that are full of food, all the while living with hearts that are empty of hope. Jesus Christ, you will find one day, whether it's today or tomorrow, you're going to find that Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to fill that hole in your heart. Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. He'd heard about him. He wanted to know who he was. He wasn't repenting. He wasn't repenting. He wasn't seeking salvation. He was curious. How many people have come to Jesus just because they were curious? Because see, that's all it takes, is for you to get a little bit curious about who Jesus is, and then Jesus begins to reveal himself to you. He was just curious. He was just looking. He was window shopping, if you will. And Friday morning is Black Friday. Anybody ever went Black Friday shopping? I have never went Black Friday shopping, but I think I want to. I think I want to. Huh? I think I want to go to Sportsman's for Black Friday. Just saying. I mean, I think there could be some great deals. I've never done it. I've never experienced it.
You're blessed.
You know the problem is with things like Black Friday?
Parking.
It never stays just Black Friday. Because Black Friday is now, they've been stores selling pre-Black Friday all this week. And then Monday, it's going to be Cyber Monday, right? Is that right? Everything online. Because you're home on Monday healing up from the beating that you took on Friday. So he was just looking around. He had heard about Jesus. And like some people today, he was being drawn, but he wasn't sure why. He wasn't even sure what it was that was drawing him. But he knew there was something that was going on. And maybe that's you today. Maybe there's something inside of you that's drawing you, that drew you here to church today. You don't know why. Maybe somebody a month ago invited you to come to church, and this morning it was just like the bell went off. Bing! Go to church. Okay. Not really sure why. Interested, but not really committed. Far from God, but something just keeps pulling at the heart. But Zacchaeus, like some of us, have obstacles. For starters, he was short. He was a short little fella. What are you laughing at, Stephen? It's a short joke. Because that guy's far from short. Zacchaeus had obstacles. He was short. The crowd was large. He couldn't see Jesus, so he climbed a tree. He climbed a tree. Listen to me. He tried to rise above his own limitations. He tried to fix his own problem. Listen, there are people today that are still climbing figurative trees, the trees of self-improvement. If I can just make myself better. The power of positive. How many millions of dollars have authors made on books on the power of positive thinking? People climb these figurative trees today, the trees of self-improvement, the trees of religion. The tree of good works. The tree of achievement. The bottom line is trying to get high enough to reach God. But no matter how high you climb, you cannot climb your way into salvation. Zacchaeus' best attempts only got him up a tree. The good news about all of this is that Jesus was on his way. Jesus was, in fact, a Savior who came looking with a purpose. When he found you, he didn't find you by accident. You ever have anybody say to you, well, have you found Jesus? Well, listen, Jesus ain't the one lost. You are outside of Christ. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. That's a powerful message. That's a powerful path. Jesus looked up, not by accident. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was up a tree. You ever been up a tree? You ever been up a creek without a paddle? You ever been between a rock and a hard spot? When Jesus came to the place, he looked up. Jesus knows where you are hiding. Jesus knows where you're hiding, and he always comes to that place, the place where you're wounded. He comes to the place where the wounded are. He comes to the place where the searching are, the place where the lost are. You know where you go to find gold? In a gold mine. You know where to find coal? You find coal in a coal mine. You find silver in a silver mine. Jesus comes to those places looking for the wounded and for those that are searching and those who are lost. And Zacchaeus thought that he was looking for Jesus, but in reality, Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus. He's still looking for Zacchaeus' today. Maybe Zacchaeus is coming to your Thanksgiving table. What's your message going to be to Zacchaeus at your table? I hope that somebody will have the the wherewithal and the guts and the faith to say, let me just tell you what I'm thankful for this year. I'm thankful that Jesus found me. That even though I've been not perfect, He still loves me. He'd still come looking for you today. He'd still search you out today. Well, you don't know how bad I've been. It don't matter how bad you've been. You don't know how good Jesus is. Jesus is looking for Zacchaeus's, and it's still true today. Before you ever thought of God, before you ever thought about God, He was already thinking about you. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the reality that Jesus said that He loved us from before the foundations of the earth. That's before you, in case you was wondering. That goes way back. While you were yet His enemy, He died for you. He's been thinking about you for a long time. He's made a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. Before you ever stepped into the church, God was already drawing you by His Spirit. Jesus stopped under that tree, and the Bible says that He looked up. And I think it's interesting. Had to be. Have you ever been in a restaurant or at a store somewhere, and somebody is kind and they're helping you, or your waitress or your server or whatever is being nice, and they have the little name tag, and you just call them by name, and they look at you like, "How did you know that was my name?" Well, it's kind of says. Zacchaeus probably was not wearing a name tag that day, but Jesus walks underneath the tree and He looks up and He calls Zacchaeus by name. He knows your name. He knows who you are. He knows where you are. He calls him by name. He says, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Zacchaeus is like, "How in the world did that guy know my name?" Jesus knew his name, He knew his story, He knew his sin, He knew his shame, and He still called him. It is quiet in here today. Here's some interesting things that you need to hear. He knew his name, his story, He knew his sin, He knew his shame. He still called him. Jesus didn't say, "Clean up first." He didn't say, "Fix yourself first." He didn't say, "Change your life first. Get all your ducks in a row." He just simply said, "Come down, come as you are, and come now." That's really what his message hasn't changed. Jesus said, "I must stay at your house." Not "I might," not "I'm going to think about it," not "if it's politically correct." He said, "I must." There was a divine purpose in that moment. There's a divine purpose. There's a divine reason why you're in this place today, why you're watching by way of the internet today. It's not by accident. God has a purpose and a plan, and He has picked this moment. The Sunday before Thanksgiving, so that maybe this Thanksgiving. I struggle with the holidays. I'll just be honest with you. I struggle with the holidays. A lot of people do. I really do. And this year at around the Thanksgiving table, Jesus wants us to have something to be thankful for. It's this divine purpose in a divine moment. And in fact, there is divine purpose in this service here today. Jesus is passing by. He is calling. He is speaking to hearts this morning. Don't we sing a song, Kathy, about Jesus passing by this moment? Just thinking. He's passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Yeah, I knew it had come to me. But listen, the crowd began to murmur. The crowd began to point fingers. Where's he going? Oh, he's going to that house of that sinner. God forbid that we should be caught hanging out with some sinners. Hello. The crowd could not believe that Jesus would go to the house of a sinner. But who did he come for? Doesn't the Bible say that it's not the well that need the doctor, it's the sick? The redeemed don't need a redeemer. The unsaved need a savior. His name's Jesus. The problem was they didn't understand grace. The sad truth is, I think sometimes that the church, even though we have experienced His saving grace, we sometimes I think maybe we feel like we're so far down the road that we've forgotten the grace that was administered to us. 'For by grace you have been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jesus here is passing by. He's calling out. He's speaking to hearts, but they just couldn't believe that he would go to the house of a sinner. Where else should he go? They didn't understand grace, and they didn't understand the gospel. The reality is they didn't understand the very mission that Jesus was on. They were looking for a conquering king, someone that would establish and crush the Roman Empire. They were looking for that kind of a king, but he came as a servant. It messed them up. Church, if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. Jesus always moves towards sinners. He always moves towards sinners. Always. That's why you're here today. He came looking for you. And he found you. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm the least likely guy to be your pastor. If you knew everything there is to know about me, you'd shake your head going, man, how'd that guy get the job? This guy wasn't looking for the job. Jesus found me and placed me in the job, in the ministry. It's not a job. Don't get that confused. But I'm not worthy of this job. I'm not even in hardly in any ways qualified for this job. But I got to remind you that he doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Jesus always moves towards sinners. Zacchaeus is the perfect illustration of a heart that was transformed by a Savior that was seeking him. And in verses 8 through 10, it says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house." because he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're already found, he's not looking for you. Why? Because you've already been found. After Jesus takes the initiative, with him, Zacchaeus takes the initiative to follow wherever the path of obedience to Jesus might lead him. The rich young man in chapter 18, verse 18 through 23, came asking of Jesus, "What must I do?" Jesus told him what he must do, and that guy went away empty. He went away unable to give up his money and his possessions. But Zacchaeus was able to give away all of his wealth in order to follow Jesus. This is a heart attitude that Jesus was looking for. Because you can't, we talked about it on Friday night in our men's group. You can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. He will bless you in ways that you never saw coming. He had a heart attitude. He perceived in Zacchaeus, and he quickly brought this man the good news. So eager was Zacchaeus to rid himself of the shackles of his wealth and the stigma that it brought, he said he had paid back four times as much as the overages that he charged his people. He had to have kept pretty good records to be able to bring recompense for all of those things. I don't think it would be in this story if it wasn't true. Think about it. His attitude was correct. And because his attitude was correct, his actions showed that his inner desire was to be obedient. We talked about that also on Friday night. You can do all the stuff on the surface you want to do, but if your attitude's wrong about it, you just will not do it. If you give with a heart grumpy and begrudging, just put it in your pocket and keep it. He's looking for a cheerful giver. He's looking for someone that wants to just bless the Lord. He doesn't need your blessing. He just wants to see what your heart is. How's your heart? Where's your heart? His attitude was correct, and his attitude or his actions showed that he had this desire to obey. Zacchaeus was setting his priorities right, and he would in fact be ready for the kingdom. How are our priorities? Something had happened. There was a transformation. Something happened in Zacchaeus' heart. He was not the same guy anymore. It's like Paul when he started down the road to Damascus, he had this encounter with Jesus Christ, and after the encounter, everything was changed. But the people still were afraid of him. People are like, "You know who that is? You know what he does? Yeah, I want you to go pray for him, lay hands on him." No, I don't think so. Trust me. I think that's what Jesus is saying. Something happened in Zacchaeus' heart. Salvation came. Salvation came. Repentance came. Transformation came. How many of you agree? I mean, that's happened in your life. He said, "Look, Lord." That's the language of surrender, the language of a changed life. He's saying, "Hey, look at my life. Look at what I've done. Look at what I'm doing." Not to be boastful, but to say, "Listen, there's been a change in my life. I'm no longer taken from everybody. Now I'm 108. Instead of taken, I'm given. I'm giving." Transformation. He said, I'll give half of my goods to the poor. I'll restore fourfold anything that I've stolen. He admits what he has done. Isn't that part of repentance? He's not trying to buy his salvation. The reality is he's responding to salvation. He's not looking to earn his forgiveness. He is showing there's evidence of a transformation of forgiveness and salvation in my life. How come? Because the Savior looked up and saw him. You can come, Kathy. Listen. You don't change your life to get saved. You don't change your life to get saved. Jesus saves you, and then your life begins to change. When you're born again, the old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Jesus declares to Zacchaeus and to every one of us here today, today salvation has come to this house. Not tomorrow. Not someday. Not after some probationary period. Today. Today salvation has come to your house. Today. Joshua said it in the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 24. Choose you today, this day, whom you're going to serve. Joshua makes the declaration, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I mean, there's nothing wishy-washy about that. We're going to serve the Lord. And then Jesus gives this mission statement. This is the whole reason that Jesus Christ came to this earth. It's wrapped up in verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. If I take these eyeglasses off, I know who you are because I know where you're sitting. I couldn't tell you one thing on this page, and I put it all on there. I'm kind of blind, but yet I can still see. And when Jesus comes into your life, everything starts to clear up. Things begin to come into focus. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's why He came. Came because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. We know the story of the Samaritans and the animosity between the Jews and the Gentiles and the people of Samaria. But yet Jesus went right through Samaria. Went right down there. You want to know why? Because there was somebody down there that needed Him, that needed salvation. Jesus went through Samaria. It's why He called a bunch of fishermen. It's why He touched a group of lepers. You'll have to come back tonight to hear about that. But He touched a bunch of lepers. In fact, He healed them, 10 of them. He healed 10 of them. That's why he sat down and ate with sinners. Went to the house of a sinner. Let a woman of ill repute be in his presence. Wash his feet. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he went to the cross. Because without the shedding of blood, the Bible says, there is no remission of sin. And Jesus was the only one qualified to be that sacrifice. And so he went to the cross. The disciples couldn't understand it. They couldn't wrap their head around it. They thought that he was going to be with them forever, and in fact, he is. But not like they thought. And that day, he died. And they buried him in the ground. But if they would remember back, he would remember that he said, after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And so he did. That's why he rose again. That's why he's here today. He came to seek and he came to save. He came for the lost. He came for Zacchaeus. And he came for you. And he came for me. This is the greatest reason why we give thanks. Not because God has given us all these blessings, and he has. Look at this building that God has given us. Yeah, it's just an old brick shop. You're right, it is, but it's been transformed. I see this old building, and I think about what it looked like, Mike, the day we walked in here. Golly, was it a mess. It was a mess. Oil all over everywhere, barrels all over everywhere. It was a mess. Just like you. Just like me. When he found you and I, we were just a mess. And he began to do his work just like he did in here. And we thought we had it in pretty good shape until a flood came along. And a flood came along and wiped out everything. Everything. Looked like total devastation, total loss. And then a bunch of people just started showing up. People started grabbing towels and grabbing shovels and grabbing brooms and started cleaning. And you have today what you see today. How are we going to pay for all this? I don't have any idea. And money just started coming. That chair you're sitting on this morning, there's 300 of them. They're not all in here. But you're sitting on $30,000. That's a lot of money for chairs, but they're nice chairs. Let's keep them nice. What God has done, and it's for me, it's a constant reminder of the transformation that God has done in this building. He can do in your life, and he can do in my life. You might, I'm not going to look anywhere but right here. Because you might be grumpy. You might do all kinds of things. But God's not done with you yet. You might be a grouch. I'm just looking around, all right? I'm just looking around. But God's working on you. I haven't attained. I've got salvation, but Philippians 1 and 6 says He's not done with me yet. Thank God for that. God came looking for you and I. And today, whether you're watching by way of the internet or whether you're in this house this morning, He's here today looking for you. He's looking for you. Bow your heads with me, would you? I don't know who you are, and I'm not going to pretend to. But I know this. There's a man named Jesus, and he's passing by this very hour. The song says, reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. He's here today. And He's close enough to every one of us that we can reach out and touch Him. The woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched Him. She reached out and got a hold of the hem of His garment, and her life was instantly transformed. Her life was instantly changed because she reached out. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to supply. Your greatest need today is salvation. Your greatest need is to have your name on the roster of heaven. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying this morning, let me ask you this question. Are you Zacchaeus today? You find yourself up a tree. You tried to elevate yourself. You tried to rise above your problems, those things that are holding you back. You climbed a tree. If I could just get a little higher. Maybe you're thinking, man, if I could, I need to go to church. Going to church ain't going to help you. Receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the only thing that's going to help any of us. Politicians in Washington, D.C. are not going to help us. This nation becoming a nation submitted under the lordship and the authority of Almighty God, that's the only thing that's going to save this nation. It's the only thing that's going to save you and I. Is a man named Jesus. And he passed by and he looked up and he saw you. He didn't see you by accident. He saw you on purpose. Today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, people praying, let me ask you this question. If you're Zacchaeus today and you looked and you climbed a tree and you're trying to see Jesus. Well, Jesus is looking for you long before you look for Him. But today, if you'll say, that's me, Pastor, I need Jesus. I promise He will meet you right where you are. He'll come to your house because salvation has come to your house today. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Anybody at all? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus in my life. I surrender my life to Him today. Anybody at all? Maybe you're watching by way of the internet. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you, Lord. Another one's been found. Maybe you're here today and you walked with the Lord, but some way, somehow, you lost track, if you will, of where He's at. And today you thought, well, I'm going to go to church and see if I can find Jesus. want to restore my relationship with Him. Today you're in the right spot because He's here looking for you. And if that's you, you say, Pastor, I want to restore my relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to believe God with you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Listen, if you raised your hand, would you come see me right up here this morning? Come see me right here. Come on. Come on.
Reach out.
Reach out and touch the Lord.
Touch the Lord.
Come on.
As He passes by, you will find He's not too busy.
Do this for me, would you? Pray this prayer with me. I know you're here. I know you raised your hand. And I want you to know this. You can get just as saved sitting right where you are as you can up here. And so I want to pray with you right now. I want to pray God this. And I want you to repeat this prayer with me. If you mean it, repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Lord.
Dear Lord.
I thank you. That you came looking for me.
That you came looking for me.
And that you found me. And I acknowledge you this morning. And I ask you. Forgive me.
Write my name.
In the Lamb's Book of Life.
Give me courage.
Give me faith.
Give me obedience.
And thank you for salvation.
In Jesus'
name.
Amen
and amen. If you prayed that prayer, whether on the internet or here, God is with you. If you need prayer for anything today, I'm going to ask you to come. And the prayer team wants to pray for you. If you need a touch in your body, you need somebody to agree with you, come and let them bless you this morning. Amen. See you tonight at 6 o'clock.